grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Loving Father, we give you thanks for your word which feeds us with your grace, that reveals who you are in your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we continue to reflect on your word and grow in your word, may your Holy Spirit work in our hearts to transform us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, come and rest in my heart so that the words that I speak may be pleasing to you, Lord God. Amen. So over the past few weeks, we've been walking through Hebrews chapter 11 to 13, exploring what it means to live by faith. And we started at chapter 11, where we looked at the what we might call the roll call of faith. So those heroes who trusted in God. So we had like Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, people who looked forward with enduring trust in God's promises, even when they couldn't yet see the fulfillment. Then we come to chapter 12, where we're reminded that we too are in this race, like those Old Testament people. And we're like athletes running a marathon, called to persevere. And we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And then we look back at those who looked forward. So we look to those characters in chapter 11. And together we keep running with endurance from their example, knowing that the finish line is this Mount Zion, this heavenly city where Christ reigns and where all people will come together. The heroes of the faith as such, those people who look forward to Christ and those like us who live in that promise of Christ. And now in chapter 13, the writer turns the lens on us and asks, what does faith look like in everyday life? How do I live my faith in everyday life based on what we've already heard about in chapter 11 and 12? And what we discover is a faith that's fixed on Christ alone. And this faith reveals itself in how we live, how we love, and how we serve. So let's walk through this passage and see how this plays out. And those opening words are simple, but are quite powerful in their instruction. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. See, the Christian community, we're a family. Not a club that you choose to join, not a social club you sign up for, but a family chosen and formed together by Christ himself. Now, of course, we know families can be messy. You can't choose your family. Sometimes siblings squabble. Sometimes parents and children clash. And sometimes, sadly, church families hurt one another too. In fact, in our own wider community, there have been moments when people have not acted in a Christ-like way. Some words and actions have caused real hurt. And many of you know that firsthand. We would like to return that hurt and pain. But we know faith does not act in that way. It does not act in that way because it's not a Christ-focused faith. But in fact, we're all guilty of not loving. It's part of our sinful nature. And that's why in baptism, we return again and again to that promise where our old sinful self was drowned. And so a new self is raised. And that's an ongoing part of our faith, of how we live in Christ. Repentance and faith, repentance and faith. So we keep on growing. And every time we turn from this un-Christ-like behavior, we turn back to again and we're shaped again in his likeness. Christ is the one that grows us in love. And a maturing faith keeps on loving, even when it's very, very difficult. And it continually returns to the font for renewal and strength, to be reminded to keep on loving. But love's not just limited to those inside the church family. In verse 2, that the call's expanded to say, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Obviously speaking about Abraham and his encounter with the three visitors. But isn't that amazing? Sparks a thought of, well, have I ever ignored someone and they were actually an angel sent by God? What does that mean? But hospitality, it stretches beyond our comfort zones. It asks us to open our homes, our tables, our hearts to people that we don't know, to show them kindness. Now, I read a story about a family that has a simple yet heartfelt tradition. They host international students for dinner. Nothing fancy, just a warm, home-cooked meal shared around the table. And for these students, many kilometres from home, this mealtime, it transforms into something special. It's more than just food. It's a gesture of belonging, of welcome. And some of you, we've explored that in a former series of Come to the Table, of how we become a family around the table as we open our lives to people. And sometimes for people, it's their very first experience of Christ's love. What begins as ordinary fellowship unfolds into this remarkable act of service and grace. And the writer continues. It pushes this even further, this loving. Remember those in prison as if you were together with them, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. I don't think that moved. There we go. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. To the early church, that they lived out this command in radical ways. In the Roman Empire, prisons didn't provide food, if maybe just a little bit here and there. So friends and families would bring meals to prisoners. If they didn't, they would simply starve and die. But to visit and care for those in prison meant taking personal risks too, sometimes even paying bribes to guards. Yet Christians did it, because their faith expressed itself in love and empathy. Just pause for a moment. Hebrews is saying, if you want to see faith, look at love. Look at hospitality. Look at empathy. Faith is not just about what we think, it's what we live. Love, hospitality, and empathy. Who may God be calling you and us to welcome, to help, to serve, or love? So the writer's opened us with this challenge and then shifts to how faith is revealed in personal integrity. Does our character reveal a Christ-focused faith? So the writer to Hebrews has some very specific instructions for the church that, well, doesn't need heaps of explaining. Where it says, marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. But God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So faithfulness in marriage is an expression of God's trust. It reflects his covenant love, steady, reliable, enduring. He goes on, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Here again, integrity, it's about trust. If my security rests in my wealth, my bank account, then I'll always be anxious, always grasping for more. But we have a promise from God himself, where he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's a promise of God's faithfulness and presence for all of time. In the bad and in the good, our Heavenly Father never leaves us. And this promise produces a freedom to live with confidence, freedom to approach life without worry, to keep on enduring, running the marathon of faith and throwing off things that may hinder us. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do for me? Picture two people, one who tightly holds on to money, always worrying, rarely giving, because they're afraid of losing control. Think of another person, gently opens their hands, choosing to live simply and give generously, trusting in God's promise to provide. One lives with fear, or the other one lives with faith. There's a story of a Christian couple who deliberately downsized their home when their children left. They sold their larger house and moved into something smaller. And they used the difference in the money that they got from the sale to support mission work. And when people asked why, they said, well, we don't want to cling to bricks and mortar when we can invest in eternity. Perhaps that's faith in action, integrity rooted in trust, faith that impacts character. So how do we learn this type of faith? Well, the writer goes on to say, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, many of us can name people who have been mentors in the faith. A parent, a grandparent, a pastor, a teacher, a friend. Can you think of people who've encouraged you in your faith along the way? Maybe people at different seasons. Maybe there's been a steady rock throughout for a longer period of time. People who encouraged you, helped you to grow, but most importantly, pointed you to Jesus. Perhaps there's someone that you can take under your wing and do the same. Now, leaders have great responsibility. They have significant influence. I'm not just talking about pastors. All leaders in the church, they're accountable to God in how they help or hinder people in faith. But no leader's perfect. Again, it's that act of repentance and faith, returning to our baptism so a new self can rise over and over again. No leader is perfect. And that's why we come to the heart of this passage where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Because that's the solid foundation of our faith. He's our core focus. You know, leaders may change, teachers may fail, circumstances may shift, but Jesus never does. And so we're called to honour our leaders, those who taught us the word of God, those who are an example to faith, but the focus is always on Jesus, never the leader. Leaders are like lighthouses. They shine the light, but the strength is in the rock beneath them that the lighthouse stands on. Christ is that rock. And this is especially vital for us today to remember that. Because I'm including verse 9 here, which wasn't in our reading, where it says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. There's so many different voices online. Some teach truth and others distort it. Some slip into legalism. Some stir up pride. Some leave us doubting God's grace. And Hebrews says, don't be carried away by these strange teachings. Instead, be strengthened by grace. Grace strengthens. Law apart from Christ weakens. And here's a test for the teaching that perhaps you listen to outside of the church community. Does it lift up Christ and his cross? Does it strengthen your assurance of forgiveness? Does it build up the church in love? Or does it leave you anxious, judgmental, or proud? If the fruit is fear or pride, it's not the gospel. So just to be clear, our leaders may stumble. Our communities may change, but Christ never changes. He is our anchor. So then we skip ahead to verse 15 and 16, which is a call to worship. But notice that worship is both words and deeds. Read it out. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. There are two sacrifices that we offer in response to this life of faith in Christ. The sacrifice of praise, we worship with our lips. Then there's a sacrifice of service, where we worship with our lives. The sacrifice of praise is, even in hardship, even in suffering, we choose to declare God's goodness. That's why it's called a sacrifice. It costs us to trust God when life is tough. Then we have the sacrifice of service, doing good, sharing generously, serving others. That's where it comes back to that picture of the winged bird. Praise and service, it's like two wings. If you only have one wing, you can't fly. Faith needs both. A little girl once held her father's hand while crossing a busy street. She looked up and whispered, "Daddy, I'm scared, I'll let go." And her father squeezed her hand tighter and said, "Don't worry, I won't let you go." And that's the certainty of Christ. Even when we stumble, even when we fail, he never lets us go. So I'll leave you with this question. What step of love or service will you take this week as an expression of your faith? What step or love of service can you take this week as an expression of your faith? My friends, may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.